Welcome to TEXA Talks, a series of podcasts where we chat with higher education experts and TEXA specialists about new initiatives, good practice, and other topics that matter to Australia's higher education sector.
Hi, in this episode we are talking to Dr. Guy Curtis from the University of Western Australia about TEXA's new academic integrity toolkit that is in the final stages of development. As we all know, academic integrity has been a matter of increasing focus over recent years due to shared student, provider and community concern about the impact of commercial academic cheating services through practices commonly known as contract cheating within the higher education sector. To help providers promote and protect academic integrity, in 2019, TEXA commissioned a group of scholars to research, develop and deliver a suite of workshops and create a toolkit to help institutions. Dr. Curtis is part of the project team who's helped deliver this project, with the beta release of the toolkit now available for sector feedback on the TEXA website. Dr. Curtis, thanks for joining us. First up, can you just tell us a little bit more about your professional background and what led you to agreeing to be part of this project?
Okay, so I'm a psychology academic and I've been working in academia in Australia now for quite a long time. It's got to be close to 20 years. And even though I'm a psychology academic, one of the things that I'm quite interested in is academic integrity. And that's come about in a few different ways. One is just I am enthusiastic about being a good teacher. So I like to know that my students are doing well and doing a good job and doing the right thing. But early in my academic career, I also got involved in some research into academic integrity. And there was a kind of a psychology academic integrity blend looking at whether culture makes a difference to whether students do the right thing in their university assessments. And something that came out of that was a really interesting result, which was that types of cheating and plagiarism that students knew least about were the ones that they were doing more. So it was sort of obvious to me that their attitudes and their knowledge were really important to whether or not they were cheating. All those kinds of questions from that research now over 15 years ago has led me to lots of different questions and studies about academic integrity. So when TEXA put to tender the idea of running nationwide academic integrity workshops, Professor Tracy Bretag contacted me and a couple of other people because she knows us via our own published research and reputation. And in the case of me, Tracy has been working with one of my students as her research assistant. So she invited me onto the project to be part of the tender, which we were lucky enough to win and went from there.
That's great. So as part of the project, obviously, there was the work around the webinars, and they gave us a really crucial opportunity to engage with the sector. Can you tell us some of the key issues that those workshops identified for you as part of this process?
Sure. So we worked with TEXA to cover the issues that TEXA wanted covered, plus the issues that we were able to bring to the table as people with some expertise in the area to say, this is stuff that we think should be covered. But there was a real collaborative process between the team of us. So that was Tracy, me, Christine Slade and Margot McNeil. Ultimately, what we covered was definitions of academic integrity, good practice, policies and procedures, things like technology that people can use, a little bit of coverage of the research in academic integrity. That turned into some quite interesting times within the workshops themselves about myth busting, because people would say, oh, I think we could really solve all our academic integrity problems if we just do this, such as if we just have exams and have no assignments. And we're able to do a bit of myth-busting and saying, well, students still cheat in exams. And also there's educational good practice about what we want to teach students, such as how to be a good writer that they can't get just out of doing exams. So the workshops, we had obviously a structure planned of what we were going to talk to people about, but what each workshop became evolved from the people there, the questions they asked, the interaction and so on.
So you touched on then just briefly the myth-busting. I mean, to say this is an important aspect of educating the sector about actually, you know, how do you combat contract cheating, for example, and how do you actually create a culture and support a culture of academic integrity? Some of these sort of myth-busting aspects get brought into the development of the toolkit.
Yeah, they did. So one thing in particular, we ultimately ended up writing a little myth-busting document of some of the ones that came up commonly. One in particular issue of contract cheating is people tend to think it's very hard to catch and impossible to prove. And in fact, there's some people doing some really good work. We've in particular seen out of University of New South Wales and some researchers like Philip Dawson, Wendy Sutherland-Smith and Anne Rogerson, who are all doing great work showing how you can look for signs within a document, the way students have written or what you know about students that might indicate whether they've engaged in contract cheating. And you can use those signs and signals to investigate whether a particular assignment might have in fact been written by someone other than the student, and then how you can potentially substantiate that to a level on the balance of probabilities that would indicate that they've engaged in contract cheating. People in particular wanted a good bit of guidance on substantiating contract cheating. So we worked together with some existing resources and some of the information from research to create a nice guide for investigators on how you can substantiate contract cheating. Academic integrity investigators in universities can use that information as well to help educate markers on what to be looking for if they suspect that they might have contract cheating.
I guess in the time since this project started and today, we've obviously had the disruption caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. In terms of supporting academic integrity, do you see much of a difference between being based in a classroom or based on online learning, or do you think the principles apply no matter what setting the student is learning in?
I think the principles are the same. So it's all about doing the right thing, acknowledging what work is your own and what work is other people's. Academic integrity is often in the context of assessment, and we want to know that we're assessing what students know, understand, can demonstrate and say. So whether they're learning through a lecture that they were sitting in or learning through a lecture recording that they're viewing online, when they're trying to give back to us as academics what they have learnt in a format like an assignment, we want to see that they're doing the academic integrity practices like referencing the right way. However, with the COVID pandemic and the big shift to online learning, there's certainly a lot of challenges. There's lots of anecdotal evidence that when students appear before university conduct panels or investigators having engaged in some kind of cheating or some kind of plagiarism, that what's happened to them is they've been caught with a lot of time pressure, they've been caught with pressures of work, life, home and other things like that, they've thought, I've really got to get this assignment done, and they resort to some kind of cheating or some kind of copy-paste plagiarism or something like that to get it done. And those pressures and stresses have been amped up a lot by the COVID pandemic. Part of it has been things like income, job loss for lots of students who are working part-time and casual. Some of it's been the isolation working from home. So, of course, all this worries me as someone who works in this area, as stuff that could be contributing to problems of academic integrity breaches. But at the same time, because it's happening now, we don't have current information on whether it's causing increases in academic integrity problems. All we can do is be aware that it might and look out for that.
And do you have any advice for academics who, you know, have made this transition to online teaching? They've previously delivered in a classroom setting. Is there anything they can be mindful of and be looking out for from the students to help identify this, if there is a risk to academic integrity standards not being upheld?
Sure. So one of the things I'd say, and this is one of the things that we particularly did with the toolkit, is to say, look, there's actually heaps and heaps of really good information out there. TEXA have been really proactive in creating an online learning academic integrity set of support resources. Lots of universities and other higher education providers themselves have been doing the same thing for their own staff. And if you're a university lecturer, you're teaching a unit or you're marking in a unit and you want to know how to do things well, what to look for, I'd say look at the resources that are there telling you what there is. Of course, the Academic Integrity Project I've been a part of, TEXA now has the beta version of the Academic Integrity Toolkit up. There's got some resources there, some case studies and some other things that are helpful in learning more about academic integrity and assessment per se. But certainly all the aspects of good practice in assessment that we would normally think of for helping promote academic integrity, such as not having assessment that's too heavily weighted, having good, clear information for students, having good, clear feedback and support for students, because students like a supportive learning environment that is they're less likely to cheat in the circumstances of having a supportive learning environment and being easily individually identifiable and known to the staff. And things like, you know, don't recycle last year's assignment topics, don't recycle last year's exam questions. It's not rocket science. It's not reinventing the wheel, but we know of the wheels that exist, that is a better wheel than not. So use the good practices that we already know about.
Obviously, with the beta release, the toolkit is on the TECS website, and those workshops happened last year. Is there any way people who missed out can catch up on those workshops and learn from some of those conversations that took place?
Yeah, so one of the workshops that was presented by Tracy Bretag was recorded. So you can actually watch a video of the full workshop. The recording is around about 2 hours. If someone's got the time, really wants to kind of get up to speed with where things are in academic integrity in Australia, that workshop is there, as are the PowerPoints. That's part of the toolkit that people can access.
And I guess as part of this, getting that engagement with the sector has been a really important part of this project, hasn't it?
Yeah, and in fact, one of the interesting things that sort of co-occurred with the academic integrity workshops that we were delivering is that it seems to be an emergence of some communities of practice and some interest groups. So Professor Bernie Marshall from Deakin University has started up a mailing list of people interested in academic integrity. Yeah, these sorts of things have emerged out of the project.
That is fantastic news, and it's good to see that engagement is continuing. I guess just to wrap things up, is there any one key piece of advice you would have to share to the sector or to, you know, even just an academics in general about academic integrity and how best to support it?
For the sector, look, there's really levels to this game. So there's the senior management level. We have universities and higher education providers have to comply with a number of aspects under the higher education standards framework about academic integrity to satisfy TECSA registration. It's really important that those things are met, and this includes stuff about informing students, informing staff, record keeping, making sure that there's policies in place, and not just that policies are in place, but the infrastructure is there to support the policy implementation for academic integrity. When you then move down sort of through higher education institutions levels, managers need to have some understanding of academic integrity, whether they're academic managers or professional managers, to understand the issues that can come up in teaching and in assessment. And then academics themselves need to know at least the basics of academic integrity when it comes to, you know, referencing in their own work and then teaching students clear and consistent standards. And ideally, just, you know, know where you can find more information and who you can ask for more information, both within your own institution and where you can look outside.
Thank you, Dr. Guy Curtis from the University of Western Australia. The beta version of the toolkit is now live at texas.gov.au/academic-integrity. The final version will be released later this year once feedback is incorporated. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this episode.
This podcast was produced by the Tertiary Education Quality and Standards Agency, Australia's independent national quality assurance and regulatory agency for higher education. You can find more podcasts in this TECSA Talk series at texa.gov.au.